Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Grab a drink with Drunk Women Solving Crime on their next Instagram Live on Tuesday, the 5th of May, 2020. But right now, you can tuck into this week's episode with the brilliant Lizzie Roper.
Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
If I got murdered, like, would you guys bother to put it on paper?
Some people did try and make porn, and we weren't allowed to give them the photos.
My friend just shouted, Perverto!
If I ever sort of hoovered it at the petrol station, I'd always hoover it going, no one saw.
sexy.
Now it's time. Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. It's still 2020, we're still in isolation, and I've already had four beers. So let's see where this goes. We're going to have a lot of fun, particularly as we're joined today by the wonderful Lizzie Roper.
Hey,
Hey Lizzie, how are you doing?
I'm glorious. I'm holed away in my mum's dining room in Guernsey under a duvet with a rum and ginger beer.
Oh, very nice.
Very nice. The visual on this episode is particularly good. I know this is a podcast, but Lizzie just underneath a duvet is wonderful. None of us have done it, but she's insisted. She is a professional voiceover.
She knows. And for the listeners who may not know, can I just say Guernsey is a small island off the coast of the United Kingdom, and it's a lovely...
No, it's off the coast of France.
Oh, ooh. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. How would you like them apples?
It is closer to France, isn't it? To be fair.
It's two hours in a boat from France. It's about 8 or 9 hours in a boat from the UK.
Ooh, how fast is this boat going?
It's pretty bloody slow. I think we get really sort of confused because the Dover-Calais thing is like, you know, half an hour to buy a flick knife.
Yeah.
When I go to Guernsey, you've got to put the hours in.
That makes me feel good about like 22 minutes it takes to get to the island, 9 minutes on the hovercraft. You are so not threatening underneath a doozer.
Can I also just point out that my rum is a locally distilled rum.
Ooh.
Distilled, may I say, with cannabis.
Is it?
Whoa. Yeah.
Guernsey's got a lot going for it.
Yeah, it really has.
How does that work? Does it taste of pot?
It does. It's got that. It can't get you high. There's no THC in it. But because Guernsey used to be a big market gardener, so they've got loads and loads of greenhouses. They don't grow tomatoes anymore. And suddenly it's gone, you know what they do need? A lot of medicinal cannabis. Come on, let's grow medicinal cannabis. Now they start to run with it.
Oh, wow. We still just grow tomatoes in the other one.
That's really
amazing. Go and catch up, Hannah. Are you going to get the munchies halfway through this, Lizzie?
Oh, God, I hope not. Oh, my God, no.
We've got one question for you, which is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Well, I've had to give this a lot of consideration. I thought, have there been any policemen in my life? And then I've narrowed it down to... There's three occasions, but one is so disgustingly rude, and my mother is in the next room that I can't.
Go on.
Oh. Well, to cut a long story short, I was caught wanking by a burglar. Moving on.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Yeah. We've never had that story.
Yeah, and please, may you never have it again. No, not really awful, 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 awful. The worst thing was when the policeman, I called the police. As soon as I realized. And then the policeman turned up and I had to sort of wash my hands and run a bath and pretend I was, you know, doing needle work or something. And the policeman said to me, because I saw him, I caught him. And he said to me, if we get you in the back of the squad car now and we drive you around the streets, do you think you'll be able to recognize him? And I thought, well, I can't recognize him, but if you catch a man who sees me and starts smirking, you'll know it's him. There was that one. There was another one.
Wow.
That sort of surpasses everything, really. No, there was on my 40th birthday, I went to Barcelona with a girlfriend. And we were on the Sunday morning, we thought, oh, we'll go to the Sagrada Familia. Oh, what could be nicer than a cathedral that hasn't been finished? So we were walking down the street and this, you know, you're in Spain, you're in Barcelona. Everybody is beautiful. You are the most disgusting thing on the streets. It's Spaniards. It's amazing. And there was this man walking towards us and he was, you know, he was Spanish and he had this really sort of beautiful sort of cashmere coat on and dark glasses and tracksuit bottoms. And as he was about 10 foot away from me, he flourished his coat open expertly. And the poor man had forgotten to pull his tracksuit trousers up. And he fell down his knees. And he had the most beautiful penis I have ever seen in my life.
But it wasn't accidental, was it?
I thought, that poor man, his friend must be behind
him.
And he's doing a funny to his friend. My girlfriend, who I was with, thought, oh, that poor man has forgotten to pull his trousers up. But the way that he walked, he thwacked it expertly from thigh to thigh. Okay. I mean, he really displayed it. And it was also... It was so sort of typically Spanish in that had we been flash tagged in the UK, it
would have been grizzly and the way he's his penis.
But it was a big Spanish flourish and it was so beautiful. Beautiful.
That's so funny. Like Spain has, you know, it has the bullfighting, it has all this great stuff, and it has really beautiful swishing penises.
Yeah. I like the idea you didn't even go to the cathedral after that. You were like,
didn't need to.
But also there was that, because we were so sort of hijacked by it, and I'm a big mouthy bird, and normally I would know what to say, but it was just so unexpected, and it was just like, what? And it was only once he sort of got past us that we realised that, you know, we'd just been sort of sexually molested and punched at. And all that we could do is my friend just shouted, "Perverto!" We also realised we also realized we had a Spanish phrase book on us, and we spent the rest of the day in hysterics. This man had shown us his penis, and it just going through the Spanish phrase book, and every single phrase in the Spanish phrase book would have been better than perverto. The best one was if you go to the dry cleaners, there's a phrase for there's a wrinkle in this one, which I wish I had learned before. So, yes, those are my brushes with the law, both including men's penises. Do we see a theme occurring?
Those are two absolutely brilliant stories. I love it.
They are very good. Thank you for sharing, as I imagine the burglar would have said to you.
Oh my god.
Did he just carry on stealing? Like what?
No.
Yeah, I have questions about the first one. Is that okay?
The one I glossed over.
Well, like, what was the method? I think we all want to know the method. Was there an instrument being used? Was it freehand?
It was the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah. I love those ones.
I was an unemployed actor. What else was I going to do?
I don't need an excuse, mate.
So I was staying in my friend's flat. He had a Parkinol recliner. I thought, let's have a luxury wank. So I had my luxury wank, and it was a very small flat on Finsbury Park, overlooking the park. And the door to the living room was open, and then that led onto the hall. But the hall was literally like two arms' lengths, and then the door. And I arrived in fantastic fashion, and I sort of came. You know, as soon as you've done it, it's like, oh, I'm disgusting. That's the most appalling thing I've ever done in my life. Oh, Catholic guilt. So I sat up in the Parkinol and I looked to my right where the open door was, because that's where I was going to go. And I realized that not only was the living room door open, the front door was open.
Oh, wow.
And there was a man standing there in complete line of sight of what
fucking
I was doing.
Hell.
He was going, and of course, I immediately went into, oh my God, the neighbors are breaking in to watch me. So I got out of my chair and I ran at the front door and I slammed the front door going, oh God, which neighbor is that? And then I go into my bedroom and I discover, because it wasn't my bedroom, it was my mate's bedroom, that his massive ghetto blaster, because that's how long ago it was.
Wow.
The massive ghetto blaster was no longer in the bedroom. So he'd been in, taken that out, and then like, who is this wanking prick? What else can I take of hers while she's...
Oh, my God.
So
she can afford to have a luxury wank. I'm going to take whatever I want.
I love that you took a ghetto blaster. That's incredible.
You were on what I call an easy chair.
Yeah. If only there were beers in the arm, everything would be...
Yes. You're on like a Fraser's dad chair. That's so good. That's honestly one of my favorite... listener crimes, because it's just
That's
so
incredible.
It's a very different kind of vulnerable.
Particularly vulnerable because Taylor was like, where were you? What were you using? What do you think about?
Our listeners would have been so sad if we hadn't investigated. Come on, we all weren't you picturing her in bed and it was nighttime? No, she was on a recliner in the middle of the day. It's so much better. It's so much better when you ask for the details.
This is why you should give actors jobs. Because otherwise they eat all the biscuits.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
The case we're looking at this week was brought to my attention by Rosie and Dan Smith on Twitter. And this is the case of the Ardlamont mystery. Now, the aforementioned Dan Smith
the
has written a book.
Argument mystery?
Ardlamont.
Oh, Ardlamont.
Oh, the argument mystery. Yes, it was your fault.
I can see it's solved.
What's Ardlamont?
So Ardlamont is a small island off the coast of France.
All will be revealed. All will be revealed. So Dan Smith's written a book about this, but I'll give the details of that later. So picture the scene. A wealthy young aristocrat goes shooting in the woods with his tutor and another companion. A shot rings out. Two men are seen running from the woods. Later, a body is found dead with a shotgun wound to the head. So straight up, when do you think this is happening? When in history is that happening?
Hey, Taylor, when was the American Civil War again?
You started it, Taylor. So.
I did. I always forget this and always have to look it up. I want to say it ended in 1836 something.
Okay.
We're going to have to cut this out.
I'm going
to
go 1836.
Okay, 1836.
I'm going to go 1890.
1890, okay.
See, I know when the aristocrats were.
It was the aristocrats.
You haven't specified. You know, it could have been. They were sassy. I'm going to say 1905. I don't know why.
Lizzie was spectacularly close because it was 1893. And she said 1890.
Nice. Ooh, well go, done. Lizzie.
I get a prize.
The prize is being smug, that's all, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The prize is you get to have another bit of your own drink that you've provided.
I get to walk around the block in isolation.
Yeah. Also, what I should mention now, I realise it's quite misleading saying a tutor and the pupil. So this isn't like a 10-year-old that got shot in the head. This is the guy that got shot is
older.
No, it
would be like a teenager or a 20-year-old or something.
Yeah, exactly. Just before you're thinking like, oh God, Hannah's doing a really dark case. It's not. It's quite dark. Okay, so.
Yeah, but some kids, I would imagine that parents on lockdown could really identify with the idea of taking a child into the woods and shooting them right now. Am I wrong?
Katie and Taylor remain silent.
You will not be drawn on this issue.
Do you know what? I've literally never done this on this show because it's not what it's about, but that date was driving me crazy because it's such a huge part of American history. So I had to Google it, and it's 1865 that the Civil War ended. Oh. And I won't look up anything else. I'm sorry, but I felt really guilty. I forgot that.
Okay. I mean, also, what's great about this is we can all just Google stuff and none of the others know because
yeah.
We're not in the same room.
Ardmont is spelled A-R-D-L-A-M-O-N-T if anyone's interested.
It's a gentleman's agreement.
So this happened on the 10th of August, 1893, and caused two high-profile court cases, one for murder and one for defamation. Ooh. So that's all coming up. So where did this happen? I'll give you a clue. It's somewhere we won't be going this year.
America.
Edinburgh.
Oh. Edinburgh. Yes.
Oh.
Edinburgh.
Yeah. No. Oh, I'm shame. So sorry.
You know what's great is that any answer would have been correct.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going anywhere.
It is Edinburgh. The court case happened in Edinburgh, but the crime happened in the 640-acre Ardlamont estate in Argyll.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Which is in Scotland. Let's meet the main players. We've got the young aristocrat, that's Cecil Hambrough, 20 years old, who was an army lieutenant and member of the Hambrough family. Where do you think the Hambrough family come from? I have a personal connection to this, so that's the only clue.
And that helps me how?
Yeah. Hi, Lizzie, who I met 10 to 15 minutes ago.
The Isle of Wight.
Yeah, but more specifically.
Ventnor?
How?
Ventnor.
Oh, oh shit. Oh. That's really?
Yeah. Aristocrats from Ventnor?
What?
And also, Taylor, if you think about the hotel that you stayed in when we did Ventnor Fringe, ooh. What was it called?
The Hambrough.
The Hambrough.
I mean, I say it like that. The hamburger. Yeah, I did.
This is Cecil Hambrough. And it was weird because these people came to me on Twitter and just said, oh, have you seen this case? But nothing about the Isle of Wight. And then I was like, oh, wow, there's like a proper connection. So then we've got the tutor who was the one who suggested they go hunting in an area of woodland on the estate. And he was 32-year-old Alfred Monson, who had been in and out of financial trouble most of his adult life, but 2 years previously had secured the job as a gentleman's tutor after being introduced to the Hambrough family by a London businessman. And the last guy was Edward Scott, who was a bookmaker's clerk from London and a friend of Monson. He arrived at the estate a few days before the murder.
So he's a friend of Monson, the tutor?
The tutor, yeah. So they go into the woods, Monson, the tutor, Scott, the friend of Monson, and Hambrough, who is the young aristocrat. Hambrough and the tutor were carrying guns. Scott was there to bag anything they shot. Three men went into the woods, two men came out. Who do you think got shot?
The one with the smallest cock.
Lizzie's going for this one. You're going for this.
I think that second crime you experienced really affected. I love this question where you have to guess. But I don't know. I'm really thrown by this one.
I'm not.
No. So we've got a tutor that's been in debt, and we've got his friend. Now, the friend, is he linked to the family as well?
No, he's just a friend of Monson.
So he literally doesn't know the aristocrat at all?
No.
What were they supposed to be shooting in the woods?
I guess like grouse or some shit.
And how long has this guy been a tutor? Do we know that?
He's been his tutor for 2 years, according to this.
And this guy's just his friend that's come in from nowhere this day.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the friend is the murderer.
Okay.
And this tutor has debts and he's in something with this guy, I don't know.
So the aristocrat dies.
Okay, or the friend that's come in that day dies.
Okay.
And the tutor is said, the aristocrat wanted to know what it was like to kill a man like A.A. Gill. And this guy brought in his friend. They didn't have a baboon.
Ooh.
So he just was like, oh, I've got this friend. You can shoot him.
But
that's
when
my alternate theory.
The guy that was shot in the woods, he didn't get shot in the woods and then they just threw some leaves over him and walked out and went, oh, I don't know, he got lost. They came out and went, he's bloody dead.
They went, he's dead, but it was a shooting accident. We thought he was a pheasant or something.
Uh-huh.
I think I love our knowledge of game in the Argyle region as well. Like, we're just fountains of knowledge. I'm going to go with the aristocrat was shot and killed by the tutor.
Tutor.
And I think, yeah, Scott was just an accomplice, but he was in on it. I think that it was premeditated and he said, look, this is going to go down because something else is going on in this professional relationship, right?
It's not just that he couldn't do calculus.
And they're going to come out and say there's been a terrible accident.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so it was the aristocrat Hambra who was killed.
Wow.
Yeah, so estate
shot
workers.
Shot through the penis.
Well, I did say head. I didn't say which head, I guess. So estate workers heard a shot and then saw the tutor Monson and his friend Scott running back to Ardlamont House carrying the guns. So they were cleaning their guns when a butler asked what had become of Mr. Hambra. What do you think Monson and Scott said? So, Katie, you already said that you think that they said, oh, it was a shooting accident and we thought he was a pheasant. Taylor?
Yeah, same. Accident.
Lizzie?
Oh, who? What? Oh, I don't know. Oh, look at that pheasant over there. Oh, I'm really hungry. Have you got a scone? I think that's what they said.
I like how we got an entire scene there. Very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks really suspicious to clean your gun after a murder, though, doesn't it? Or an accident, like, well, you know, you can't skip the stone.
In those days, they had to clean them all the time or they'd get all, like, backed up and wouldn't work.
I used to do that when I had a car. If I ever sort of hoovered it at the petrol station or hoovered the boot, I'd always hoover it going, no one saw, no one saw. And add a little bit of drama to my life.
Very good.
Monson said that Hambra had shot himself in the head by accident whilst climbing a fence.
Oh, they said
that is really clumsy. How big are these guns?
Exactly.
I imagine they're rifles.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a flimsy defence. It's a flimsy defence.
Unless he was leaning the rifle against a fence and was using the trigger bit as a
man, that would be crazy. Or he was like looking down it with his eye to see if it was clean.
Katie just sliced right through that. That would be crazy.
Everything else is fine.
So they called the police and the police came to the estate but reported that yes, it had indeed all been a tragic accident. They believed Monson's story.
The police believed the tutor and the random guy.
Yeah, they did. They did. So Monson and Scott got away scot-free, if you will. until Monson did something that raised suspicions. Now, what do you think Monson did that led for this whole case to be reopened?
And Monson's the tutor?
The tutor.
Okay.
Did he come in and steal a boombox while the mother was having a wank on a chaise longue?
Oh, a chaise longue is very much the sort of easy boy of the 18th century.
Yeah.
He tried to pawn something of the aristocrat's.
Ooh.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
So something suspicious. So he did or he said something suspicious?
It's to do with money as well. So sort of Lizzie's on the right lines, but not exactly.
What did Lizzie say again?
that he'd pawned something of the dead blokes. So he's stolen something of the dead blokes and he's trying to sell it for money.
He's tried to cash a check for tutoring that he's not done because the guy's dead.
Ah, okay. Taylor, any advance?
I'm trying to think of how would your money be held then and how would somebody try to have access to it? And I'm just not sure.
Just to give
he's
you...
He's found a way in. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it was, and we've had this before, is it was a life insurance policy.
Yeah.
Well, Hambra, so basically, Monson appeared at the fiscal office to report that Hambra had taken out two life insurance policies worth £20,000 only 6 days before he died.
Oh, wow.
And whose name do you think they were made out in? I'll give you a clue. It's not Monson's name.
His mate.
Oh, it's the mate.
Yeah.
The mate.
Wow.
Well, it wasn't. It was Monson's wife. Which is so weird. Why would you take a life insurance policy out?
Or he just put his wife's name, like she's just property at this point. Why are they pretending she has any kind of legal right to have a life insurance?
He's a slack criminal. This is a really badly thought out plan.
Yeah.
Right from the start. Monson, you're a twat.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
But so the life insurance was on Hambra, but if it paid out for some reason, it would pay out to Monson's wife, which I'm kind of confused about.
She can't vote. They have one bank account. Like, she's not anything.
She's not next of kin.
Yeah. And anything she has, he has anyway. She doesn't get to keep any of her own money.
Absolutely ridiculous that the pupil would leave all his money to the tutor's wife. So it's obviously Monson's been up to no good.
Yeah.
Well, yes,
implicated his wife.
Yeah, and the police obviously thought this was rather suspicious. So they conducted thorough searches of the estate and interviewed all the staff, and consequently Monson was charged with murder. And Scott is his accomplice. Mm. What do you think has become of Scott at this point?
Got off scot-free.
Whee! He fucked off, literally. He was on the run and I don't think was ever seen again.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, he grew a beard.
Or he cut it off, depending on what it was like before.
Cut it off and wore a dress, ran to the hills.
So Scott, sorry, you said Scott ran off and was never seen again.
Yeah, the from friend what I could, is Dunsey's.
Yeah, from what I could tell. So Monson, now the tutor, is on trial for murder. Monson was defended by John Comrie Thompson, undoubtedly, according to Wikipedia, the best and most charismatic defence lawyer of the time. But among the witnesses, baby. I always think that you want a really charismatic.
A new series.
Mm. Yeah. Sexy defense lawyer.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Among the witnesses for the prosecution was a Dr. Joseph Bell, an Edinburgh surgeon and forensic detective who became the prototype for a very famous fictional character. Any guesses who?
Watson.
Go one
Dr.
up.
Dr. Joseph Bell End.
Oh, my God.
Sherlock.
Sherlock. Yes, it's Sherlock.
But Watson's the doctor.
Conan Doyle was tutored by Dr. Joseph Bell when he was at Edinburgh, I think he was at Edinburgh University, when he studied medicine. So Conan Doyle studied medicine, and this guy was his tutor. At the time of the trial, Bell had recently been unmasked as the inspiration behind the creation of Sherlock Holmes. So he was kind of this quite celebrity kind of guy.
Oh, wow.
And so Dr. Bell told the jury that in his opinion, Monson had murdered Hambra. But obviously, Monson has this sexy, charismatic defence lawyer. Who do you think the jury went with?
Sexy. They went sexy.
Yeah. Well, I'm worried they went sexy as well. Yeah,
sexy.
I think they went sexy, and then there's another case, and then they go sensible doctor afterwards.
Yes, exactly. She's totally right.
Okay, so it's like all of our relationship sort of things. You go sexy and then you go okay.
Yeah, sexy then sensible.
I want someone that's sexable. That doesn't make sense. Taylor, what are you going, sexy or sensible?
Sexy.
Took her a while.
We've all gone sexy.
We've all gone
sexy. You're under oath, Taylor.
And also, bearing in mind at that point, the jury would have been 12 men. They went sexy too. So,
well, okay.
Yes. Yeah, so despite all of this evidence, and we've got the actual Sherlock Holmes saying, I thought it was this, the jury went with not proven, which is, of course, the Scottish thing for not guilty.
Oh, the Scottish get out. Okay.
Yeah, yes. Which is just basically that they didn't necessarily think he was innocent, but there just wasn't enough evidence to convict. The verdict enraged friends of the 20-year-old Hanborough, and for many years, on the anniversary of his death, notices appeared in the national newspapers that they had put in. Yeah. What do you think they said?
They're putting up notices like, this was not...
It's a Twitter pylon. They're trying to get him cancelled.
Yeah.
It is.
They're not guilty. Not guilty. Here lies our friend. Not guilty. All upset.
No, they're saying
guilty.
He's a murderer. Sorry, Taylor, I interrupted.
Yeah, justice was not served and the murderer walks and I don't know. They would have phrased it all flowery and like they used too many words.
Do you know what? They did exactly that. They said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.
See,
yeah.
Seth the Lord, really.
But that is...
Lord is not called Seth.
That's 1870s for cancelled on Twitter.
And I think it's also saith the Lord, now I've read it properly.
Mm. No, I like that. Seth.
Seth the Lord, like in the Jedi's.
And a few years later, Robert Churchill, who was Scotland Yard's most senior firearms expert, said the evidence is 100% for conviction, so the jury were either blind or kind. So all of these experts were saying, you know, this is definitely a murder. I mean, how do you guys feel about it? Do you feel like, I mean, we don't know that much about it, but it seems quite obvious that he had a total motive.
I'm feeling murder. The life insurance... it can't be a coincidence. It happened 6 days before the murder. This feels very premeditated.
Yes.
Yeah, and also really
was
foolish.
He a hated? Oh, sorry.
Really, yeah, foolish too. Yeah.
Was he a hated aristocrat? Like, I'm wondering, did he have many enemies? Aside from these friends who were writing the notices, and now I'm wondering, if I got murdered, like, would you guys bother to put it on the paper? Like, hey, just a reminder. I feel like nobody would.
I would be all over Twitter, Taylor.
Facebook post, you'd be like, oh, it's the anniversary of her murder, so we should share the little video that Facebook has put together about her murder, at least.
I want you to know that I would avenge you, Taylor, in every way.
Look, she's Sething that right there and then.
Seth, God.
Gonna retrain as John Wicks.
Yes, yes, that should be our next podcast. It's just the three of us trying to retrain as John Wick. It would not work. So the second part of this trial, as I promised you, was a defamation case. It was a case of libel by innuendo.
Oh, so this guy is sick of everyone calling him a murderer.
Well,
he's suing them.
Yes, he's suing someone in particular. Does anybody know what libel by innuendo means? And if you don't and you want a clue, I'll give you one. Come on.
Oh,
I like what you did there.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, very much. It's like the carry-on of defamation cases. It's interesting, this one. So basically, in 1894, a well-known London attraction decided to use Monson as part of an exhibit, because this was a huge thing, like, at the time.
The London Dungeon.
The London Dungeon. Taylor?
Madame Tussauds.
Madame Tussauds. Lizzie, have you got any?
The whatever. Elephant Man's warm-up.
The Elephant Man's warm-up.
Warm-up.
One of you has got it right, and it's Taylor. So it was Madame Tussauds.
Yeah. Who will wax fucking anybody? Like, what a lame... So here's a case that wasn't even... He
probably
wasn't even found
murderer.
Guilty. Here's his face.
And then also, that makes it sound like everyone thought he definitely was a murderer. If they were confident enough to make a fucking wax work, and put him in the murder room.
That's really like, rude, isn't it? But this is the like, murderer walking.
That's like if, and I have no idea if this ever happened, there was like a waxwork of O.J. Simpson after he was acquitted.
Was there?
No, if there was, it would be like, lots of people think he did it.
Because they'd be like, no, no, we're just honoring him as the sportsman that he was.
But like,
he just happens to be in the murder room.
Yeah. It's like,
we can't move it or it will melt.
Do you know what? My favorite thing is the idea that it's called the murder room. But does anyone know what the actual name of the place was? I mean, I love it. You should work for Madame Tussauds, Lizzie, because that is good.
I did. I used to work at Madame Tussauds.
No way. I did.
I had to put an actor's company in there. Madame Tussauds worked out about 20 years ago that you go there twice in your life, once when you're a child and once to take your children. So they wanted to make it a more thing. So it was decided to get a group of actors to play sculptors.
Ooh.
So I had the attic and I had to get 20, and I got a load of stand-up comedians. I got like Tom Price and Stan Stanley and various people.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to go and see how the sculptures made the wax works and put all the hair in and stuff and the history of Madame Tussauds. And then we would have this attic and there'd all be different stations. And Tom Price would be there pretending to carve a face out of clay. And I go, and here we see the sculptors and over here they're putting the hair in. It's all complete lies.
Oh my god! That does sound great, though.
It was brilliant, cool. And I got they at Madame Tussauds they carve faces, but a lot of the time they cast the hands. So if people are alive, they take them in and they cast the hands. Jimi Hendrix must have been hung like a horse because his hand was the biggest hand I've ever seen. Because they would let us in the store and we would be running around picking up insane things. They've got also Madame Tussauds was amazing. Not only did she sort of make waxworks and stuff, she would take artifacts of people's life. So in Madame Tussauds, they've got the bed that Napoleon died in. It's up in the attic. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Wow.
But yeah,
I digress.
That was an awful digression.
Can they not put the bed on show unless they like made it out of wax? What are the rules?
They just didn't sort of get round to it. They were too busy making Kylie Minogue's ass.
Oh my god, that fucking Kylie Minogue one.
Yeah.
I this is a digression too, but I used to develop photos right before everyone could do it themselves and people still had to come in and we did like the 1 hour service. And like the amount of, you have to look at the photos to check they're a good enough quality, and you're not allowed to give back obscene photos, blah, blah, blah. We're talking like 2001 here. The amount of fucking people that went to Madame Tussauds and the men that stood behind Kylie, like they were fucking her up.
She was on all fours, wasn't she?
She was on all fours. And everyone obviously thought they were the first person to do this hilarious joke. And every single fucking person that went to Madame Tussauds did it.
Come on. I want to know what the worst photos were that you saw.
Okay. I saw some people did try and make porn and we weren't allowed to give them the photos.
Do you get to keep them?
No, we just, I actually, to be fair, I don't know what did happen to them in the end, but we weren't allowed to
you
give them back.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, I'm the manager. I'll take the envelope.
I had this really old lady that went on a trip to Elvis's grave.
Oh, wow.
But honestly, it was mainly Kylie and Madame Tussauds. I don't know if that was new at the time.
And was that just a local sort of Photoshop that you worked in?
Yeah, we were in the one. Oh, no, wait, we weren't even the hour service. We did a 20-minute service.
Blimey.
We did, and we could put it's it on it.
They want their porn fest.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And honestly, when the person came in to collect the porn, everyone ran to the back of the shop because no one wanted to be the person to have to serve them and go, I'm really sorry, you can't have your photos.
God. Yes, only two of them came out. The rest of them were a bit blurry.
No, they're really blurry. You've got loads of stickers.
Oh, my God.
Was it in Baker Street? Was it nearby?
No, it wasn't in London. It was in Bishop Stortford.
Blimey.
I love that there were enough people that went to like Madame Tussauds and tried it on with Kylie, that in a sort of a suburban, like, snappy snaps, there's a fucking like, oh, it's another one of these.
It's like, oh, fucking hell, this again.
That actually sounds like exactly what you would expect. Like, no one in London needs to do that.
That's true. It's people that it's a slightly special occasion.
Yeah. It's a very nice snapshot of a era.
Anyway.
Lizzie would, of course, know that it's the Chamber of Horrors is where he was.
Ah,
Monson
the murder
was
room.
The murder room.
Which is what I like to call my front bottom.
The murder room. It's
been a long time.
I like to mine the Chamber of Horrors. So, Monson was put at the entrance to the Chamber of Horrors. He was not happy about this, and he sued the company. I should also add that they made the waxwork, and he was literally just holding a gun whilst he was.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you think he was successful in suing Madame Tussauds?
Yeah.
I mean, like, in theory, he should be, because he wasn't found guilty and they've put him as a murderer. So, yeah. But then does he have to go to retrial and it turns out he is a murderer and then they're allowed to keep it? So they decide to prove that he's a murderer.
Well,
it's like a big institution to take down. So I'm not sure.
That's true. Well, they've got Napoleon's bed in the attic. Maybe they're not on it.
Tell you what, Monson, we're going to do you a deal. We're going to keep the waxwork, but here's Napoleon's hairbrush. Nobody's looking at it anyway.
The irony is as well, like, Napoleon's bed would be fucking tiny, right? He was a really small dude. So, you know, I want Genghis Khan's bed. Like, I want a big bed.
But maybe it was big because he wanted to be like, look, I've still got a big bed.
I think you're probably right.
I think Napoleon slept in a recliner. Lizzie, it's the best story because we've all had a wank in a recliner.
It's the best. It's the best story.
No, I genuinely have, so it's fine. I don't want to talk about it though for another time.
Oh, he was successful in suing Madame Tussauds, but he was awarded just one farthing in damages.
Why? One farthing for your time, sir. Be gone, sir.
Why one?
How much
farthing?
Is that?
Like, that's nothing.
Oh, it's like a toenail. It's nothing. You can buy nothing with a farthing. You can get like half a toffee.
Yeah, exactly. It was fuck all. I think it's the least that you can possibly be paid in a sort of defamation.
So is that because they all knew that he was guilty, or is it because he could spend loads on his case?
Well, it's a good question. Like, I don't know why they were like, but I think it was kind of like, oh, it's just Madame Tussauds. She does like the wax. Like, let her do what she wants.
Oh,
I don't know.
You know, I've signed option agreements like this. It's like, well, we don't have any money. Here's the pound. And I've
farthing.
Never seen the pound.
What, like, was
they took
it
down the statue, though? Like, this, so that's the main thing. Is
they
took
down the statue. Yeah.
No, I don't think they did. I don't think they did, actually.
They got the farthing and they're keeping the statue. What, was this a judge?
They reuse the statues. They reuse them. They melt them down and they'll make like little Jimmy Osmond into David Beckham. They just melt them down and redo them.
It is. I mean, that's a horrifying image, isn't it? The melting down of. Also, there was that fire at Madame Tussauds, wasn't there? Which I believe was after this. So he probably didn't have.
This.
He could have set the fire. That's a rumor I might start.
He'll sue you for a farthing, and then you'll be sorry.
Yeah, I've got half a toffee.
Rumors, it's fine.
Apparently, it's sort of like this case set a precedent, though, for the kind of libel by innuendo.
Litigious people.
Exactly. Yeah. Lastly, the other link to Cecil Hambro that I have, and I found this quite exciting when I read the case.
Is your dad? That
he is my father. He is my father. I'm going to avenge him. No, but he's buried in the church that I used to live next door to, which is, I find that super weird, considering I didn't come to this case.
Yes.
Someone sent it to us. And I sent my friend there this afternoon, and he went and took a picture, and the grave's still there, and he found it. And we'll post it on Twitter once it's like, it's kind of mad. So I walked past this guy's grave every day for, like, you know, years, which is kind of weird.
When you go to bed tonight, tap, tap, tap on your face.
I don't know whether it'd be more terrifying if it was the wax version or
Wait, so Hannah, sorry. The murderer guy lives in your graveyard?
No, the guy that was murdered. Sorry, okay. So Hambra. Yeah. Because he came from the Isle of Wight.
They shipped him from Scotland and buried him in Venice.
Yeah, essentially. Which is how I felt.
You're obsessed with your island, aren't you?
Exactly. I managed to bring back every single piece of information.
Everyone on the island is very pro the island.
Yeah.
Because it's a microcosm, because we're not meant to live. Why do you think there's so many cases of COVID in London? You're not meant to live like that. You're meant to live in little rocky outcrops, like Fraggle Rock. That's why they're all so happy. Not just because they're puppets. Because they're on an island.
Bring back Fraggle Rock.
Guys, before I round this off, I just want to say that if you want to read more about this case, and there's so much more to this case because there's like the whole Sherlock Holmes shit. There's so much more to what actually happened. There's a book by Daniel Smith, and the book is called The Ardlamont Mystery, the real life story behind the creation of Sherlock Holmes. And we'll put the link in the show notes, so check it out.
The author sent us the story.
Yeah, well, his wife did. Yeah, his wife.
That's so great. Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. On that note, here's to Madame Sassoud's not giving a shit. Cheers, everybody.
Drunk women solving crime.
So the one final part of the podcast that we have is a listener crime to solve. This is from TF James from a review on Apple Podcasts. So if you do have a listener crime, leave us a review, 5 stars, sure, and tell us if you've been a victim of a crime. So TF James said, they posted this back in February, said, with Valentine's Day coming up, I was reminded of a time when I was young and in a hip hop dance troupe. We've all been there. And the bloke, Katie hasn't, no, that's... There's still time, Katie. There's still time. And the bloke who subtly yet relentlessly bullied me over the years came up and handed over a bright red envelope, which he had ostensibly been asked to pass from an anonymous admirer. Of course, the envelope contained a card with an illustration of a pair of cartoon horny devils and written in a feminine hand the suggestion that the sender had seen me in class, liked what she had seen, and wanted some of that. In quote marks. As you might imagine, I never found out who sent it and always assumed it was yet another cruel joke at my expense. However, perhaps I missed out on something magical. We may never know. But pray tell me what you might deduce, detectives. I rely on your intuition and clever minds. Anyway, thank you and keep up the excellent work.
I mean, look at me cheering on a potential romance on the back of like porn devils. That's kind of sad. Like, oh no! Could have been so beautiful.
But no, it was never good. It didn't happen. If you're a lady and you want to see a gentleman's penis, you don't make a card with horny devils on and then give it to his mate to give to him. You might leave it somewhere that the guy could find it himself, but you certainly don't embarrass yourself further by involving a third party.
Okay. Interesting. So your problem is with the postal service there, the way
My problem is massively with the postal service.
It doesn't make sense, which is why I submit to the jury that the bully actually is the one with the crush.
Ooh.
And put it under the guise of like feminine writing with the devil. Come on, devil porn. It was the bully. What fits a bully profile more than two devils fucking?
It was just devil horns. It wasn't devil porn.
But for the listeners, Taylor put her hands over her mouth in shock
and threw herself back.
You were just devil horns?
Just devil
horns.
Not
porn?
Not porn.
Oh, man, I had the whole psych profile on this guy. I was...
Devil
horns? Okay, you know what? No love lost. There's not anyway, but I still think it was the bully, even though it was horns, not porns.
I think you might be right about the bully.
You don't search out your crush's bully to deliver the mail.
This is very true. That's very, very true.
No, that's true. It's too suspicious, a delivery method.
I was remembering, I got a Valentine's day card when I was at school, and it said from ? But the question mark was the wrong way around, and there was only one boy in class that did it like that. So I was like, oh, it's him.
Okay.
I know.
Wow.
He was not.
But he was the right one. He was the one that you should have ended up with. But you walked away because he weren't sexy enough.
I mean, yeah, that is true.
I'm just picturing like that episode of The Simpsons with Lisa and Ralph.
I choose you.
Look in the tunk.
So the doctor says I wouldn't get so many nosebleeds if I just kept my finger out of there.
How can you turn that down, Hannah?
I know. It's sad.
So we may have solved another one legit, but Katie, what's your take?
I mean,
Katie, you were a massive bully. Come on. Get into the mindset.
Oh, yeah. That's what I come across as now, I think, with my swagger and my barely concealed repression. I was a massive victim. It takes one to know one. I think it's a suspicious delivery method. And so I agree with you guys. It would be great to be wrong. You know what? We need hope in these times. I'm going to go. It was romance.
Oh,
just to be different.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well,
but from a third party.
I don't know. I can't remember all of the crime.
Well, TF James, I hope that has helped. I'm pretty sure it had. So that all.
TF James, didn't they write 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh my God, is it all based on this one?
Oh, E.L. James. Sorry, okay. Very different.
So many celebrity listeners.
So,
E.L. James loves devil porn. That's all I'm saying.
All that remains for us to do is say, Lizzie, what have you got to share with them? What are you up to? Yeah. I mean, that's hard asking in this. What are you up to? Staying in, actually, Hannah.
I'm doing loads of gardening. If you want to, if you can get yourself to Guernsey in a time of crisis where there are no flights in and no boats out, if you want to see me sowing some seeds, digging some trenches, get on down to St. Peter Port.
What are you planting?
Everything. It's Armageddon. It's the apocalypse. I've got two greenhouses.
Okay.
You name it, I've planted it. We're here for the long haul.
Mushrooms, strawberries, runner beans.
Strawberries, runner beans, broad beans.
Carrots.
Cavolo Nero.
Ooh.
I know it's a wanky, like, Cavolo Nero got all whatever. It's so delicious.
It's amazing.
Cavolo Nero. Oh.
It's amazing. Guys, Have you tried making crisps with them?
No, but I will now.
Google it.
I'm pretty sure Katie wants to know what that is. What is a Cavolo Nero?
So sometimes it's called black kale or black cabbage. It's a really, really dark, leafy green.
All thin with a sort of big woody spine, but you rip it all off and it's delicious.
Yeah, you can even make like a pesto out of it. I didn't want to finish the sentence because I'm like, I hate myself.
Well,
make a delicious pesto.
That was great.
You came for the crime, you stayed for the culinary tips. That's the show. Lizzie, thank you so much for being with us all the way from Guernsey.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm sorry that I've disgraced myself.
No, you've been the best.
I'm blaming the booze.
We do every single week. Oh, thank you guys. So I will say goodbye.
Bye.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.